Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, you gotta keep it 100. Hey, you gotta keep it 100.
Keep It 100 is our election year series, taking a look at women's role in maintaining democracy on the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment back in 1920. Last night at the debate, we saw one of the many reasons it's important to have women in the conversation so they can ask questions like this of Mike Bloomberg.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against, a billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and frisk. Look, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is. But understand this, Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Okay, that wasn't really a question. That was more like a statement. Running for office is the subject of a book co-authored by our next guest, Kate Black. Kate Black, who formerly was chief of staff at Emily's List, an advocacy group that has raised more than $600 million to support progressive female candidates. Black worked with actor June Diane Raphael to write Represent, the Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. Kate, welcome to All of It.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, listeners, are you thinking about running for office? Have you run in the past? We want to hear from you. Wins or losses, full-fledged campaigns, or just mulling it over. Give us a call with your own experiences running for office or even thinking about it. Our number is 212-433-9692. So, Kate, you've been working on getting women elected for office for a really long time. So what's changed about the way women run for office and what's remained the same?
Well, let's start with the good news. The good news is that when women are on the ballot, we win just as likely. We're likely to win just as much as men are. You know, there's no doubt in the research or as we see in the results on election night, you know, that when women do compete, we win. Now, what's changed? Certainly the way that we campaign has shifted, the rise of social media, the expensive campaigns, all of those things have changed the way that women navigate politics. Certainly in my career, working to elect women is a passion of mine, it's a commitment of mine. And I think being unapologetic about seeing women at the table really does matter, not just for our politics, but for society at large.
So what's remained the same? You know, there's a lot of things that are different, but what's remained the same?
You know, there's no secret that it's still hard to run for office as a woman. And this is not just at the highest office of the land, which we're, you know, all paying attention to right now, but up and down the ballot. There are real barriers to running for office in this country for women that are somewhat structural. If you're talking about voting rights, if you're talking about the, you know, high expensive campaigns. But then if you're talking about some of the different kind of barriers that exist for women, research has shown that, you know, when asked men and women, do you feel qualified to run for office? Women are more likely to say, no, I'm not qualified. You know, whereas men are likely to say, yeah, sure, I'm super qualified. And, you know, even if I don't feel 100% qualified, I'm still going to throw my hat into the ring. So certainly that type of feeling of, you know, not being qualified, of, you know, my resume isn't ready, that is one of the things that can hold women back. And it's one of the reasons why we wanted to write this book. You know, Represent is a book that's meant to guide women through the process. Everything from why are you running to where are you running to maybe what even are you going to wear while you're running? And then how do you support other women along the way? You know, this book is really meant to be brought along with you through every piece of the journey.
Who is your intended audience? Did you have a specific person in mind, a kind of person in mind?
No, this book is certainly for any woman who's thinking about running for office, but it's for men too. I think everyone should pick up this book, you know, whether you're looking to run for the first time or to run again, or maybe to give to a woman in your life that you think should run, so that they can, you know, take this on and make it a part of their career or their journey. But for men, read this book because it does outline the ways in which running for office looks different for women. And I think the more people who understand how women have to navigate this, the better we'll all be.
In the book, you include a timeline, and it's described this way as, quote, an incomplete timeline of women's political power in the U.S. and some other crucial dates. So there's some that we know for sure. Like, everybody knows the 19th Amendment. But what are a couple of the other important historical moments you include that are lesser known, but you really think are important?
So I think we have to look at the very beginning. And what I love about our timeline is that we go back not just to when our country was founded, to really about who was here first. And looking at Native women as those who set up some matriarchal cultures, set up some ways in which that their communities thrived under female leadership, and who have often been erased from this conversation. I think our timeline was meant to show some of these important dates, like you mentioned, about the 19th Amendment, or when Barbara Mikulski, the very first Democratic woman to be elected in her own right to the United States Senate in 1986, was the longest serving female senator ever. Or Geraldine Ferraro being the first woman to run for vice president, or Shirley Chisholm. These are all really important facets of women's history and certainly American history. But our timeline was also meant to highlight the ways in which we've overlooked some women in pieces of our history, both in the terms of, I think, you know, women's particular history, but also as a country.
My guest is Kate Black. She is the co-author of the book Represent, The Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. So you just give some good examples. You know, we know certain people. We know the squad. We know the senators who are on the national stage. But I want you to share a story that someone who's featured in your book who decided to make a difference in her community and run for a local seat, Columbus Congresswoman Liz Brown. What is it about Liz's story that you think is really symbolic of why this book's important?
So Liz is a city councilwoman from actually my hometown in Columbus, Ohio. So it's a lot of Ohio pride here. But, you know, Liz is a woman who was always involved in her community. She had worked for on behalf of a labor union. And when a city council seat opened up, she happened to find herself at the time this opportunity came to her. Well, she was, I think, 8 months pregnant. And she decided, you know, can I do this while pregnant? Should I make the leap? And sometimes, you know, you only have, you know, a matter of hours or just like a day or two to make a decision to get into a race. And I think she shares this in the book, which is that if she said no, what would that be? What lesson would that be showing her daughter? And so she decided to throw her hat into the ring. She won the race. She had her baby. And, you know, she talks about, you know, having to debate and to do policy discussions, but having to leave early to take care of her infant. But then she also talks about the need to put her personal life into her politics and into those policies. So she was one of the ones who really pushed for Columbus to have a paid family leave policy. And she's pushed for, you know, family-friendly workplace policies and affordable childcare. And that stems from her experience, not just as a woman, but as a mother. And I think her story in our book was so critical because it shows that when women are at the table at the local level, we can bring our entire selves to the conversation. And that can only develop and enrich a conversation about policy that helps everybody.
Let's take a call. Lindsay is calling us from Westchester. Hey, Lindsay, thanks for calling All of It. Lindsay, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay. Did you run for office, Lindsay?
I did, actually. I ran for office in 2017. For my local school board, and I actually won, which was exciting and frightening and wonderful.
And what made you decide to run, Lindsay?
Well, if you remember, we had a very interesting election the year previous to 2017, and so I thought, you know what, look, if I'm going to be living in this community, I have children here, I want to make sure that I can have a voice in the local school board and the way that the school is run. And thankfully, I won. There were about five people running that year and only three different spots. So it was, you know, we had a debate. And it was a very interesting experience, I'll say that.
Lindsay, thanks for calling in. Listeners, get in on this conversation. Have you ever run for office? Are you thinking about it? We want to hear from you. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. We'll continue our conversation with Kate Black, co-author of Represent, The Woman's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. We'll have more after a break. This is All of It, and my guest is Kate Black, policy advisor and former chief of staff for Emily's List. We're talking about her book, Represent, A Woman's Guide to Running for Office, as part of our series, Keeping It 100. So when you think about, we heard from Lindsay from Westchester, what are some of the positions people should be thinking about when they think, gosh, I can't run for senator or governor? What are some of the local positions that are available to folks?
Well, I love that Lindsay called in because it does. I was thinking about this while she was speaking. There are over 500,000 offices that you can run for in this country. Just think about that. Over 500,000. It can be school board. It can be county commissioner. It could be sheriff in some places. It could be attorney general. One of the chapters that we have in the book itemizes some of these seats and really asks the reader a question. What is firing you up? What are the opportunities, the challenges that you see for your community? What are the issues that you're tweeting about a lot or that always come up at Thanksgiving or that you find yourself debating with friends? Thinking about those issues, then flip them into questions. The offices that you might want to run for could solve some of those questions. So, for example, if, like Lindsay, you're passionate about education and where your kids are growing up, maybe school board is the right seat for you. But if you care about criminal justice reform, maybe running for and law enforcement, maybe sheriff is an opportunity. You know, there are so many seats that you can run for in this country that that women can occupy. June and I came together to really make sure that women know the full landscape that's available to them. It's not just, you know, the 435 seats in Congress and the 100 seats in the Senate and the one seat in that Oval Office. There are so many seats for you up and down the ballot. It's time we start occupying them.
It's so interesting. As we were talking about this segment yesterday in our little area up at the All of It, Team All of It area, one of our producers said, hey, wait, there's a professor from my college I think is running for Congress. And so we're calling her a super caller because we reached out to her. Professor Harrison is a political professor, political science professor and a political analyst. Dr. Harrison, I'm going to ask you the question that Kate just mentioned. What fired you up to run for Congress in Jersey?
Well, it actually happened very, very quickly. So I am a resident of the 2nd Congressional District, and what your listeners know about my district is that it is currently occupied by a congressman by the name of Jeff Van Drew. And so in 2018, the voters in my district voted Van Drew into office as a Democrat. And, you know, many of us who may have disagreed with him over the years on various policies, including gun control and LGBTQ rights, kind of held our nose and voted for him because he was the Democrat running. And when he voted against the impeachment inquiry on October 31st, I could not sleep. I was sick to my stomach, and I waited for someone in the district, an elected official or, you know, someone of standing to stand up and say, this is wrong. We voted you in as a check on the president, and no one did it. And so I wrote an op-ed because that's what I do. I do political commentary, and I basically outlined why Congressman Van Drew was wrong on impeachment, both politically and constitutionally. And from that, a lot of people started reaching out to me saying, you should run. Why don't you run? Please run. Which was really interesting because one of the areas that I research is women's participation in politics. And so at first I just thought, well, you know, maybe this threat of a primary will actually make this guy do the right thing. And instead, he kind of doubled down and started appearing on Fox News and saying that the impeachment inquiry was, you know, something that you would see in a third world country, which, you know, was just so offensive. And so here I am. when his staff resigned, they said that a large part of the reason why he resigned was because he was afraid of the primary threat from me, or the reason why he switched parties. And so I'm kind of proud of that. I pushed him out of the party, and now I'm going to push him out of the House of Representatives.
Professor Harrison, thank you so much for calling in. Let's talk to Lindsay, who is calling from Manhattan. Lindsay, what are you currently running for?
Hi, I'm a Democrat, and I'm running for Congress, the 10th Congressional District, the West Manhattan, Lower Manhattan, and parts of Brooklyn.
So what was your impetus for running?
So I read an article about how our district is the most unequal district in the country. I hadn't heard anyone in my community speak about it that way. We have people who are doing very well, and then we have thousands of people who are barely making ends meet, tens of thousands of people. I haven't heard my representative speak about that. I haven't heard enough action and seen enough action on climate change. This is a district that was hit directly by Hurricane Sandy, and we're still recovering. And I'll be the first woman to represent the district in 50 years. And I think it's time.
Wow, Lindsay, thanks for calling in. Let's talk to Grace from Manhattan. Grace, what are you running for?
Hi, my name is Grace Lee. I am running for New York State Assembly in the 65th District.
And what made you decide? It says here you're balancing being a mom and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm a mom of three. I have a two-year-old, a four-year-old, and an eight-year-old. And I was inspired to run as a community activist. I have been fighting a toxic cleanup site in front of my daughter's school in the South Street Seaport. And when our elected officials weren't taking a proactive stance to protect over 600 elementary school kids and thousands of residents going to school across the street from the lot, I decided I would pick up the slack and run for office.
Grace, thank you so much for calling in. So, Kate, this is so interesting. We just opened up the lines, and there's more people on the lines. I do want to get to something that I think is really interesting in your book. We don't have a lot of time, but you make a really, this is the great sentence in your book. Dear reader, you were formally invited to forget everything you ever felt about money. Signed, June and Kate.
Yes, we wanted to give women permission to, you know, have all those feelings about money, but then also park them for just a minute while they're reading this chapter about how to raise the money that you're going to need to run. As I said on the outset, and we're hearing all the time in headlines these days, just the mass amount of money it does take to run for office. And while it's helpful to, you know how much you're going to need to run for office, it's really important, and what we do in the book is show that where you're running and the size of the race that you're running for does matter. So you might only need to raise a couple thousand dollars, or maybe you do need to raise, you know, a few million if you're running for a big statewide race. But, you know, taking in the size and scope of your race does come into play. The other thing that we wanted to acknowledge, because we have to, is that women are still earning less than men for doing the same work in this country. Yet we are a majority of breadwinners. We are a majority of minimum wage earners. And so when we're working third shifts, when we're working for unpaid care, you know, we have to acknowledge that the way in which we interact with money, the way in which we feel about debt or asking for money, because we're all going to have to ask for money when we want to run for office. We wanted to give women the permission to say, I have these feelings. I have this experience. I have to get over it, because this is how we win.
The name of the book is Represent, The Women's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. Kate Black, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.